2009.
Yeah, right. That was around the time I went, but it wasn't for Mardi Gras, and I'm really regretting that.
Maybe
right
it
now.
Was. Maybe they only did it for Mardi Gras.
Maybe.
Yeah, are you guys purposely pronouncing the S?
Yeah, it's a Nimbin thing.
So it's a weed thing. So it's like
we're from Queensland. We're not so good with our words.
No, no, we're not trying to say Mardi Gras. We are trying to say Mardi Gras. Okay, so it's like it's a weed festival, and they changed they manipulated the name.
Yeah, a wordplay.
Yeah,
yeah.
They manipulated. Oh my god. Okay, we're clearing our throats.
Yeah. Last chance to cough.
Oh god.
Asia, you're welcome to ask Google to play a song, a Charging Stallion song of your choice, and that's when we've officially kicked off. Yeah. And this is your test to see how many of our songs, or if you know any of their names.
No, I'm drinking mangoes with my mates. Like, let's
do
it.
Song
nah,
is
I don't. I really don't.
Hey Google, play Euphoric Queensland by Charging Stallion.
I knew it.
Here's the thing, it's better to know the words. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh,
we don't want
God.
People in the crowd yelling out the title
and
of the song.
And to be fair, we did name that song, like, it's called Euphoric Queensland, but nowhere in it, like, we're saying we're getting euphoric up in Queensland,
yeah,
I guess, yeah.
You do, you say the
we
words.
We do say
yeah.
It, yeah, you should have got it, you're
thank
right.
Thank you for trying to sympathise with me. This is the song with Eddie Maguire's in it too, right?
Yeah. He's in all of them.
Oh my God.
He's produced every song we've ever made, actually.
Every one? Shit. Magpie fans?
I'm going to edit in the song over top of this.
Sick.
So we can talk over it.
Or enjoy it.
Yeah. No, yeah, sit back and enjoy it.
I mean, that's what I was doing. I find when we do this at for the L Files, we say all the good shit in this period where the song's playing, yeah. Which really sucks.
For the listener.
Yeah.
It's fun for the host.
It's good for the host, but I end up telling the others to shut up. I'm like,
yeah.
Hold it.
Me and Timmy do that a lot. We're like, save it. Don't tell me that story till we're going. Or maybe I won't edit the song and I'll just leave it in.
I reckon.
Hello and welcome.
Welcome back to another episode of Charging Stallion Presents.
News.
We.
Hello.
So close. So close to the name of the show. Doesn't know the name of any of our songs. Doesn't know the name of the podcast she's on.
I'm cancelled.
Ladies and gentlemen, Asia Quinn.
Hello.
Welcome.
I don't know where I am or what's going on, but I'm here.
So, Asia, welcome to this. This is sort of a news podcast. It's called News We Like, but we wander off on other topics. But you don't really have to talk about news. We just want you here because you're our friend and you love a lot of the same music as us.
And news, actually.
You do love news?
I do.
What
I'm
sort of news
actually
do you love?
A journalist. I did a degree. I did have a degree.
Oh.
So, yeah, like factual stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, now you've shown how bad a journalist I am for not knowing that. Is that what you pursued?
Yeah, well, no. I actually wanted to be a graphic designer somehow at the start, and then my university actually got rid of that degree.
Graphic design degree.
Yeah, like it was a study of art loosely. Sunshine Coast
enough
is a weird
buildings.
Place. Enough. Yeah. That exactly. You don't need a website, whatever. Anyway, decided my dad's actually a newsreader, so I was like, oh well, I don't know what else to do. So
it's crazy, yeah. Like being from Queensland when like my dad was like at one of our friends goes to us, he goes, oh, do you know that Asia's dad was like newsreader like in Queensland? And I was like, oh, he's like, tell me the name. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then like as soon as he showed me your photo, I was like, that guy, yeah,
him,
yeah.
Well. Just weirdly last
Sunshine
night.
Sunshine Coast, right?
It was all of Queensland. And more recently Darwin and now the Gold Coast. He's the newsreader for Channel 9. Huge fans of it. You
of
are both.
Podcast.
Yeah, Channel 9 loves this podcast. They get their facts from this.
They do.
But no yeah, wonder. It was pretty I hope he doesn't hear this, but it was embarrassing him being on the news because everyone at school was like, "Oh, your dad's the weatherman."
But I still get it. He was the newsreader.
He was the newsreader, and then Anchorman the movie came out, and then that was a whole other thing.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
Yeah, pretty weird.
But I reckon they were just dad jealous. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. That was the main argument
in school, was my dad's better than your dad. And so they were just looking for, they were like, "Oh, we've seen your dad."
Oh,
so
your dad has the coolest and weirdest job. We're going to cut you.
Yeah, I don't actually think the job is weird. They just needed to feel better about themselves. They would have had like, I don't want to name a job.
It's in Queensland. Is it in a trade? They probably didn't have jobs.
Oof. Sorry, too deep.
Well, I kind of feel now that these kids are coming from broken homes, and maybe you should just let them have one.
Exactly.
Are you on their side, Timmy? Yeah. Are you anti Mr. Quinn?
Only if you had a terrible childhood.
Only if he did.
No, only if you're the person who's cool.
Do people call him Mr. Quinn when they come over?
No, not generally.
Okay.
Paul Taylor, Nine News. That's him.
Yeah, I see.
Or the weatherman, whatever you want. But it's kind of nice people don't know who he is here because different state, whole nother world. It's less – I don't know why. I think he was always on the news since when I was like 7, and I have this really – like it's not traumatic at all. I had the most privileged upbringing ever. Mm. But for me, trauma was grade 6 into school soccer.
Yeah.
Dad's there. Every little girl at interschool soccer decided that he was a celebrity and that they want his autograph and were hovering around him. And instead of thinking that's cool, I sat in the car and cried.
Oh, no.
It was like, shut up, Dad. No, go away.
I get that, though. It's like it's like when you're at school and your parents want to play a part in your life, and you're like, this should be like a positive thing, but you don't want. It's like it's dog eat dog.
Well, and your parents are never cool to you. Mm. You don't think that your parents. I mean, I didn't. I do now as an adult, 100%. But Dad has big main character energy.
Yeah. So that was meant to be your day. You're on the sports field. You're like being a light. Like, hey, Dad. Exactly. Be proud of what I'm doing, and then without even meaning to, everybody's attention is like
on him,
Mr. Taylor.
It was, and he loved it.
Yeah,
that was good psych work there, Cam. Good breakdown.
Thank you. I do feel like this is detective. A bit of a.
And we have popped Asia on a psychiatry looking comfortable chair. So
it's
maybe
very
we're
going to
unravel all the issues.
Great. The trauma of year 6 soccer. It's a big, deep one for me.
What did you think of the setup when you walked in here? Nice little spot.
This is like legit. I do feel like I'm in New York or something. It's very inner city, cool vibes in here.
What did you think of the
fireplace? I'm sweating.
Yeah.
There's a massive fireplace in here. It's insane.
Asia, when Timmy got here before you, for anyone listening, I've got YouTube. You can look up 4K fireplace for 10 hours straight. So I've just put the image or the video of a fireplace on the TV.
Massive TV.
And I was like, oh, that makes it cozy because it's like kind of setting the ambience in the room. And Timmy walked in and he goes, that's a bit sexual.
That's not what I thought.
I'm glad.
Now that you say it.
Yeah, you can't not think it.
It's getting hot in here.
But Asia, how we're connected through you is that you are a part of the Lily Street Tavern.
I am. A great place.
Just
to
Lily Street? Just Lulies?
Lully Tavern now.
Oh, Lully
it
Tavern.
Moved from Lully Street. It was going to get demolished and now it's just on Johnson Street.
Was the old venue Lully Street Tavern?
It was, Lully Street Tavern. Great name. Says it how it is.
Yeah.
And then was it Lully's or is that a nickname?
That's a nickname and very controversial. Lully's, one of my bosses, it's like his worst nightmare.
When people say that.
Lully's, yeah. Ooh. It's like... Someone said to them, it's nice. It's like they're giving it a pet name a little bit. Yeah, like, that's cool.
That's what I would have thought.
That's what you'll think, except for Brendan.
Oh.
He can't handle it. The Lullies. But it's nice. Everyone calls it Lullies. Lullies. We cop it all, to be honest.
Do you reckon if we got Charging Stallion shirts that said, come down to Lully's and just sold them out the
Brendan
front.
Brendan would be livid. It's, you know when someone has like a tick and it's not like them?
Yeah.
He's a really level-headed man.
But
and
that triggers him.
It's so funny we're talking about this. He'll probably kill me.
You know what triggers me is people having those triggers. Like it's a scab that I just want to scratch at. Yeah. Yeah.
That can't help is, it. So my other boss, that's what he does.
Oh, great team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we all do to each other all day, to be honest. It's pretty weird working in a bar. I come from like corporate world before and then working in a bar with the two owners and like that's it. There's no one else there during the day. And it's weird. It's a really cool office space.
Yeah.
For those who don't know about Lulee's Tavern. Sorry, Brendan. It's like, yeah, it's a tavern. It's warm. It's like a, it's like, it's a bit saloony dive bar vibes. Yeah.
It's a very cool interior.
I haven't been since the new fit out and that new bit that's been put on the roof.
Yep.
I haven't been down since.
Come all on, Cam.
I'll check it out. So you, are you their booker and you host their podcast? What's your role there?
Okay, so when I first got the job, afterwards I was like, it was made up role. Like okay. It's, yeah, totally made up. And I was like, so what do I like put in my signature? What's my role? And one of my bosses looked at me for a while, puzzled, and was like, vibe chick.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said. So I don't know. But yeah, band booker, social media person.
Okay.
You do a bunch of jobs.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
So promotional coordinator.
Yeah. Like I can say whatever I want. Nice. Marketing. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Tell me what it is. I don't know.
It's promotional coordinator sounds real pro.
It does, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Some of it's like HR. Like it's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Which is actually amazing. Like it's so fun. It's never the same.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
Good on you.
It's a vibe.
Of course the vibe check says that.
Typical.
I'm annoyed that you guys haven't played a show there though, to be honest.
Oh, we were going to talk to you about that. We can do it now.
Let's do it.
We want to play. Have you got any spots in July?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
I'll make one.
Yeah, sweet.
A Friday or Saturday night in July.
Great. I'll find you a Friday in July. We don't have bands generally on Saturdays.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
No yes, real reason in particular. Friday night.
Friday night's the night.
So we'll see you all there on every Friday of July, just in case Charging Stallions are playing.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Great promo, early, getting in early.
That was fast.
Yeah.
And what's the latest for the podcast?
The Lulee podcast. Okay, so we've added a new member because I decided I can't be there all the time and I'll just book the guests and the sound person.
Okay. So
because we don't do it all like you can do it all.
Well, more directed at Cam.
Sorry, Timmy just rocks up.
No, Timmy booked you as a guest.
Oh, see, you're the booker.
But if Cam wasn't here, it would just be us like talking in a room, and I'd have the mics out and stuff, and nothing would be getting recorded.
You just sit here like this.
Is that laptop open on news.com.au?
When Cam has friends over, you just like invite them to sit next to you and pretend they're on, even when you're not recording. I'm into it.
Yeah. It's nice. But we also wanted to talk to you about something that you've been a big part of and has been a big part of the music scene in the last couple of years is Lulipalooza.
Mm. Yes. Is this where you guys put me on the spot and ask if you're playing Lulipalooza?
I mean, we should, hey.
When is it?
It's November 11. Because all of our people are getting married in November. I don't know if you guys noticed, but
yeah,
I feel like that every year. I'm like, oh, it's that time of my life where everyone around me is getting
married.
So I'm just used to it. I just kind of tune it out.
It's just like turn your hearing aid down. Like it's off, locked out.
Great for you.
Well, unfortunately for me, I've got to try and bring all my friends to Lulipalooza, so I can't. You know, no big weddings on those weekends. Yeah, okay. So, but yeah, November 11, we close down Lulee Street, appropriate.
Nice.
The Mechanical Bull.
And how, is this number three?
This is our third one.
Yeah. Well, so what was it, run us through, because what was it like when you started booking when you booked the first festival?
Yep.
Because it's not just like booking bands. Like it's not just like, it's like all that other shit is the hard shit,
right? There's a lot of other shit.
Like shitters.
There's shitters.
Yeah.
Like a lot of shitters.
Yeah.
Okay, so luckily, John, one of the owners of Lulee, brilliant at all of the logistical things.
He collects Portaloos.
He and stores is a Portaloo guy. John, the Portaloo guy. He will hate me for saying that also. I really hope they don't.
What is he, the owner?
Yeah, the owner.
Yeah, he will hate
of a bar with many Portaloos in it, actually. There's a few. But he used to run the bar at Boogie. and managed rooftop bar for like 10 years. So we know, I mean, that's not, you don't learn how to close a street though. That is logistical nightmare. And because it's near Johnson Street, which is an arterial road.
What does that mean?
It's, you know, one of the main veins in the artery, I guess.
Like artery. I was thinking like it's lots of arty people. Like there's lots of
Johnson Street.
It feels like that kind of street.
It is actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Johnson Street. They actually do close Johnson Street down, which anyways, that's a whole other thing. But for some cool Brazilian festival.
That's a Spanish festival.
Spanish, sorry.
Yeah, I was there recently. It's so good. Yeah. Like the food is amazing. The vibe there is sick. They have like big stages on either end. It's really cool.
Is it different to the
one outside Old Bar?
That's the Spanish one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a massive party. I don't know how they do that. How they close Johnson Street.
And it's 2 days.
It's insane.
Yeah, 2 days.
We actually had to close a part of Johnson Street to build the rooftop at Luli.
Mm.
And that is also not easy or cheap to do.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
How'd you go with so when you were booking bands before, had you booked?
No.
But you hadn't booked. You hadn't, so you hadn't started booking for
Oh, bands. Sorry. I'd started booking for Luli briefly. The years are confusing with COVID and stuff, but I'm pretty sure we started booking for Lollapalooza maybe about 8 months after I'd started. So I eased into it. To be honest with you, I tried to book a heap of bands before I started working at Luli for Luli because I knew the owner, and it wasn't really known as a live music venue, so no one would play. Like our mates.
Yeah.
They were like,
would
no.
Would they say that? No, it's not known as a live music venue.
I don't know. There was many excuses. All I can think of is Adam, sorry.
I was about to say you don't have to name anyway. Too late.
I can't remember what his excuse was, but I think people couldn't imagine it. And, you know, you want your band to play at a cool venue that's like...
And they're picturing it like the 7-Eleven. They're like, how's it going to work?
Legit. And at the time, Luli was in that spot, you know, only a couple of years there, and it wasn't as warm and awesome as it is now. And I don't even know if there was a stage. But the boys in lockdown, the owners of Luli, decided that their dream was always to have a live music venue. Like, we need to do something about it.
Cool.
And anyways, he started hitting me up and up. And then he hired me after I couldn't book anyone. So I don't know.
She tries.
But it's pretty funny. It only took a few months of then people being like, oh, we want to, like reaching out to me. I was like, whoa. And that's a great problem to have.
And do you do their social media?
I do.
Because I think that is a big, because I haven't even been there in the last like couple of years, but that's a big change for Luli Street is now, even just without having been there, I'm like, oh, they're like my reference point. They're like Last Chance. Like they've got a community around it. There's regulars. Everybody behind the bar seems like they're getting along. But that whole perception is formed by the job that you do on social media. So well done on
Thank
creating
you.
That. Yeah.
It's you do all a great lies. Job. It's all, no, it's not.
Smile for once.
It is actually easy because of the bar staff and there is an insane community around it.
Yeah.
And it's all pretty well thought out though. Like John and Brendan they knew that we could only ever have free shows because we want to keep that regular, you know, there were, but there's bar, there, we've got plaques on the bar for people who drink there most days because that, you know, it's what it is about. It's like your other house and
And you're
really
going to keep coming back if you've got a plaque in front of you where you sit. Let's be honest.
You get a plaque the first time you drink there. No. That's a really good idea, though.
Yeah.
But it only stays up if you come back every consecutive day.
Yeah. 2 days you're not here, it's gone. It's a threat. But no, it's really, I don't know. There's a few places doing free shows now. I don't really know what it was like before. I can't remember much pre-COVID, to be honest.
Of the music scene?
Yeah, like there was obviously a free show here and there, but maybe mainly in like the front bar at the Tote. I feel like those were ticketed a lot of the time, actually.
Front bar at the Tote, I know that Old Bar would always do like 2 free shows a week, but they wouldn't ever do like a Friday or Saturday.
No.
Yeah.
But I think they did like Tuesdays, Thursdays, something like that.
Yeah, right.
Where it was like they'd pay the bands, but I don't think they were paying the bands much.
No.
I think it was like a couple of $100 come play or whatever.
I know you guys would have experienced it, obviously, but I've now been working as a manager and an agent for a couple of bands, and it's really weird, like all of the different methods that all of these places use, like venues. It's so inconsistent.
It's like learning a different language. It's like, you know how people get used to app or like Mac or PC? It's like every single bar is their own thing.
There's not like, two main brands.
You must fill
out
this paperwork, or you must like build up trust with me, or I need to know your personal reputation. Like every single like booker or bar has their own ways of doing it. And some of them is like, they'll tell you on the day, oh, you've got to turn up 3 hours before
the first band
to do your sound check. I'm like, you want me to get seven people who all have different jobs and different schedules? Half my band's asleep. Like, there's no way we're getting them.
And we're paying you. Like, who? I don't know. It's like venue
Jimmy doesn't
fees?
Have a phone at the time. Oh. For a year.
I actually remember trying to contact Jimmy. I'm just going to be ragging on everyone tonight. I remember trying to contact him once because I did this announcer's course at PBS. Mm. I'm making myself sound way more qualified than I am to be speaking on podcasts. Journalist
to
who did an announcer's
do your dad.
Course. Sorry, Dad. I'm coming for your job. Anyway, yeah, not actually working in that field of work. But I did this PBS course and we had to create our own segment. Mm. And mine had a really bad name. And I was really into the punk scene, being new in Melbourne and getting involved, and I wanted to use a Dumb Punt song to be the intro song.
Nice.
And I think it was called Goonbag or something.
Goonsack.
Wow, where have I thank you.
Another one. Goonsack, yes.
Goonbag. Goonsack's way more badass.
Goonbag sounds like you put a string around it and made it like a handbag that you throw over the... It's like a dangles by your size. Goonbag.
Oh, no, Asia. Goon cask? I don't know.
Yeah, was this when Jimmy didn't have a phone?
Sorry. Yeah. That's the rest of the story. Yeah, yeah. It was hard. Like...
Oh, yeah.
Was.
We've been trying to get a hold of him 3 days. Like, imagine if he actually went missing and we called the police and they're like, so is this unusual that you haven't heard from him for 3 days?
And we're like, true.
No, he, the thing with him though, when he didn't have a phone, got to give him credit for this, was that he, his partner Tinzo says this as well, that he got so reliable to be somewhere on time because he could not, like, he couldn't be late. Like, if the people left, that was
so
it.
He made agreements with people like days in advance and then just had to keep to the agreement.
That's actually amazing. So something really good came of that.
Yeah.
Tinzo would have felt like a personal assistant.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. It's so funny.
I bet you guys talk about Jimmy all the time as well.
We talk about Jimmy on the
not
podcast.
Not normally on the podcast.
I have mentioned Jimmy a few times on the podcast. I actually have a follow up for this. Yeah. So we'll bring up and we'll say that Jimmy said that he ate the jumbo kebab at King Kebabs just down the road. And we would always be like, you didn't. Yeah, and he'd be like, oh, Tim's only had like three bites of it. And it was falafel as well. So not even like an easily processed
heavy.
Down, like
that's
heavy.
Dry.
And I don't know if you've seen these jumbo kebabs, but they are like a baseball bat. It's insane. What? It's like they're like 2 foot long Subways like put together,
no.
but thick kebab. And it's just like a batten.
I could eat that, but not Jimmy.
I can't. Where would it go?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, so we want to have him on, and I want to bring on a jumbo kebab. So it would just be Jimmy talking with a half kebab full mouth for the whole podcast.
That's bad ASMR.
I don't think everyone will be able to listen to that.
No.
As he said, he reckons he could do it.
You said he did it.
He reckons he's already done it.
Yeah.
Where's the proof? I had no phone.
Distance. I couldn't take
Sorry, Jimmy. I actually love you so much.
We'll love Tinzo Jimmy. Does she? If she says that he did, then I'll be a bit more open to it.
I don't know. It's all a bit wishy washy for me. But I did have a friend. I had some Brisbane mates come and they were staying at the just down the road across from the kebab shop.
Oh,
and
no.
One of the boys went and we were drinking. He went and ate a jumbo kebab. And then got chips on the side.
Whoa.
ate the chips.
That's like a big power move.
Yeah.
And then we just like kept on drinking. And
oh
it was like.
And he was fine. Not even sleepy.
It was fine.
Whoa.
What? It was fine.
We don't really have an equivalent to that in Queensland, I don't think.
A massive kebab? Nah. I don't think so.
Nah.
Yeah, one thing I do miss about Queensland though is the most is like bakeries aren't as good down here. Like they don't do country style bakeries as good.
Like there's just not as many.
You probably have to go to like Geelong or like outside of Kyneton or
something. I was just thinking about Kyneton. Yeah, we have one bakery in Victoria.
Isn't that the one that's like the best pies in the world? It's pretty supposedly good. I went there and I reckon it's a pretty good pie.
It's up there.
Yeah, I reckon you're flexing a little bit if you're saying it's the best one in the world, though.
That is a flex.
But Yatla Pies, it's like this institution like on the way from Brisbane down to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And for years they were like, this is the best pies in the world.
I went and got a pie this morning for breakfast from the cafe over the road. And they've got a pie warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed at the pie warmer. I was like, oh, what's in the pies? And she goes, tomato. And
what?
I was like, anything else? And she goes, oh, meat. And I was like, which one? And then she got the attention of the barista. And she's like, which meat? And she goes, mince. And I was like,
That's still not an animal. I still don't know where that came from.
They could be pork mince, beef mince, chicken, anything.
Wait.
And I was like, what kind of mince? I was like chicken or beef? And she goes, yeah, beef. I was like, she has no, like, she doesn't even know what a pie is.
Wait, I'm confused about the tomato.
Okay, so what it was, because I still
I got three.
I did still get it.
I needed to see what it was about.
I was so intrigued.
Oh my god!
I got it, and it was just a normal mince pie. It was like quite thick. What do you call it? Pastry on the outside. Tomato. No, it was quite thick pastry on the outside, but it just came with relish.
Oh.
And so, in her mind, she must have seen people like serving it out with relish, and she was like, "I know there's tomato somewhere."
Oh, so she described the side condiment over what was actually in the actual pie first.
Maybe that's because when she eats the pie, she dunks it so heavily in the condiment. That's what she considers the flavor.
I love that
she's like, all pies are tomato flavored.
People are so worried about AI taking their jobs, and it's like this could have been an easier situation.
Yeah. It would have been so much faster to ask ChatGPT.
Tomato. The bot is broken. Yeah. Oh my god. That's amazing. But good pie?
It was actually really good, yeah.
Oh, great.
Mince pie with tomato chutney.
Before we jump into the news stories, I just want to say on the pie front though, I'd have some Queensland mates that would shoot me down for this, but unless you've gone over to New Zealand and you've tried they're the best pies.
It's like, New Zealand pies.
Yeah.
So nice to hear someone else say that, because us Kiwis we come to Australia to say that.
Yeah. And no one believes.
Everyone thinks we're here for the jobs, but we're actually here to tell you how good the pies in New Zealand are.
I didn't believe it until I had one.
What is the difference?
It's the way that so even at the time, right? So at the time as well, I wasn't eating meat. So Jimmy and I got veggie pies, and they were hands down the best vegetarian pie I've ever had. The pastry's amazing. Nice, like, flakiness to it. And then what they'll do is, if you want cheese in your pie, the cheese isn't just, like, thrown on like it is here in Australia. It's mixed all through with the meat and sauce and juices and everything like that. So it's, like, spread through the whole thing. It's so much better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense to do it that way.
It does. You know? Why can't we learn from our neighbours?
Yeah, delicious.
I'm going to, like, this is an Air New Zealand ad, actually. Now.
Just fly in, fly out. The rest of the country's terrible and the people are really obnoxious and terrible to be around.
But the servo
fly in, get a
right.
pie and roll.
Oh, yeah. I actually don't think I've ever heard this about New Zealand. I'm shook.
It's the main thing. It's the main thing I know about my culture.
There's not tomato in pies.
There's I'm going to jump into a news story. So you guys might have already heard about this one, but this one is very intriguing. An obsessed jumping castle operator has been jailed for 11 years. After attacks on a rival business. Now, this has got a couple of twists and turns, but I'll just power through the main points of the story. So James had never had success in business until he joined the jumping castle industry and quickly grew his empire with a never-ceasing desire to be the best. After a life of low-paying jobs, it feels like the reporter just wanted to have a go at him there.
Yeah.
After a life of low-paying jobs, he became fixated on the party hire industry. And at the peak of his obsession, he hired a team of arsonists to burn his competition to the ground.
No.
Now, the judge in the court recently said, you became very successful in the jumping bouncy castle industry, but you also became completely fixated and obsessed with it. It consumed your every waking moment. His name's Judge Stewart, and he said, you became obsessed with outdoing your rivals. So his ambition grew into an obsession, and he just wanted to be the most successful bouncy castle business owner in Melbourne. In 2016, he hired these two guys to burn down all of his competitors' bouncy castle places. But basically what happened was he realized it looked a bit suspicious that he was the only like bouncy castle empire owner in Melbourne that hadn't been burnt down. So he hired the guys to burn his down too.
But only some of it?
No, they burnt it down.
Oh, the whole thing.
But the guys who he hired got caught by the police running away. And they turned him in straight away. They said, look, he's made us burn down all the other ones. And so he wanted to make it look less suspicious. And they're like, have you got any evidence? They're like, yeah, when he gave us the plan, he was drinking whiskey and we're having drinks at this place. And they just drove the cops there, completely threw this bouncy castle guy under the bus. The guy got away. So the guy changed his identity.
No.
Moved to Perth. Got a new fake medical certificate created, and then he got caught because he got a tip off to the police because he had started a new empire of making fake postal stamps.
No.
And they didn't look good enough, so he got snapped, and then they realized, they made all the connections. They're like, this is a fake ID, what's your real name? And they're like, his real name, this guy, there's a warrant out because he burnt every bouncy castle place in Melbourne down, including his own.
I have so many questions.
This is a Bogan version of Catch Me If You Can.
Oh my yes, God. Bro. Postage stamps? Like,
yeah.
You're going to fake post. Like, what about anything else?
Money.
Just obviously, cash. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. What? Like, how much even are they? 50 cents a piece?
And who's he selling? Who's still sending letters?
Is he filtering them through the post office?
Maybe, yeah.
Or is he trying to make, like, is he doing, like, art thief style? And is he making, like, old school postage stamps that are worth a lot of money?
Right.
And, like, trying to sell them on the, because that would be the smart way to do it.
That's much more logical.
No, you're selling one that was, like a Queen Elizabeth one on her fucking, when she got crowned or whatever.
So he's actually highly intelligent.
That's a bit generous.
Okay, so this could be totally unrelated. And I'd hate to bring it up, but I thought related to that awful thing that happened in Tasmania with the jumping castle. I assume you guys heard about that. Let's not go there.
The kids and
bad. Anyway, I thought it was related to that. But the place that we hire our mechanical bull from for Lollipalooza, they are called like Jumping Castle Party Hire or something.
Right.
And last year, the insurance for them went up so high.
Because everyone was burning them down.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
What's this guy's real name?
Let me go back to the top.
What was his fake name?
James Balcombe is his real name. And then it actually doesn't give his
God,
fake name.
I hope he's made something funny up.
If you're going to have a fake name, what's your... So you've just burnt down a bunch of... You're on the run. You've gone to Perth.
It'd have to be like my name. Like, it'd have to be like a payout of my name, like Europe.
Yeah, so you can still remember it.
Exactly.
I'll try to make it sort of hard to say so nobody tried to say it.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Like Claude Viordios.
and you could really waste time too with something that you waste time with someone to pronounce. You go, no, Viordios. And you keep doing that over and over again. They just let you go.
Sorry, Claude.
Oh my God.
That's a good play, actually.
And then no one would be able to, like, you know, look you up to see if you're a real guy.
But I think it would be spelt like this. And then I show that to the cops, and the cops are like, are you sure? And they're like, oh, maybe it has some dots over the vowels.
Oh my God. Okay, wait, when did this happen? The burning?
So the burning happened in 2016. The court case happened in 2018. 2018 is when he skipped, he didn't turn up to court. He just, new identity, started making fake stamps. And then he went back to, he got arrested in 2020 and then recently convicted.
For, like, do you know how long he got?
I think it was like 6 years. Timmy, I might show you a photo of this dude just so you can describe him to Asia.
Oh my God. I feel like this is a, you know, the judge hadn't seen a case like this before.
You see that guy?
Oh, yeah. So, He's got...
our normal thing is not to laugh at people's appearance. I just want to put that out there. It's just
our normal thing.
I just want to put out that when you picture this guy's backstory and then you see his photo, it's just so good.
So he's got that. He's got pedophile glasses face style. An oddly shaped head that goes up into a bit of a bean shape and quite pointed.
Cone heads.
And has he, I need glasses, Ken, but has he got a bit of a mullet coming out the back?
You know Hulk Hogan sort of style where it's a mullet but bald?
Whoa. Bald on the top and just going at the back, yeah.
This, I feel like, what movie is that where that, it's Johnny English, I think, where they he describes this villain who doesn't actually exist and then it's like the most obscure, like, he's got this huge scar on his face and he's got curly red hair and he's missing an eyeball and then that guy ends up existing. I feel like that's what you guys are doing.
We've spoken him into existence.
I can just imagine that guy in jail too and it's just like, would you get in there for him? It's like, I got a couple of guys who commit some arson and the other like criminals in there, they're just like, the prisoners are, oh yeah, so would you burn down like construction yard or... Or like some like local nightclub venues that were competing. Nah,
my own bouncy castle. I
like my own bouncy castle.
My singular bouncy castle. You know, when you first started this news story, all I imagined was someone like stabbing the, because you said that he'd, you know, gone out of his way to destroy the other businesses, bouncy castle businesses. Like, just, you know, stab them a bit.
Yeah.
You don't have to burn anything.
Pop the castles, yeah.
Just pop them.
One of the times the guys tried, so I think he did it to like 8 places around Melbourne.
Okay, also... why there's so many bouncy castle places.
Apparently it's a huge business. The reason he became a bouncy castle like mogul is because there's so much money in it in Melbourne. I guess there's so many like families pumping out kids that are like, put them on something, hire something for the weekend.
Oh,
so they're just like,
they're
hired out almost every day. But one of the times that he sent off these arsonists, and he stuck with the same two for years, they tried to throw Molotov cocktails through the window and they couldn't, it didn't blow up. So it just like, it's like a, everyone knows what a Molotov cocktail is. It went through the window and it smashed, but the fire didn't spread. And so they climbed in and tried to light the fire, like off the Molotov cocktail, and it wouldn't light. And so they gave up and they drove off. And then the owner of that one rang the police and were like, someone smashed the window and they poured petrol on the ground and they were really confused. Like,
yeah.
But then these dudes, when they threw James under the bus down the track, they said, yeah, and we threw the Molotov cocktails and they didn't actually blow up and then we couldn't
imagine light having
them.
Petrol and a lighter, I assume, and not being able to start a fire.
Oh, I know.
He hired the wrong guys.
Yeah. And also, if you, like, the way that guy looks, and you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but when you add up all the other things and put it to that face, dead eyes. Yeah, dead eyes, you know what I'm saying?
Someone has
fucking
dead
eyes.
Wow.
And just like, but yeah, a normal person, even like a normal arsonist, and I'm sure there's different like degrees of normality when it comes to arsonists, right? There's always some sort of spectrum.
Yep.
And I reckon that these guys are on,
red hot.
Yeah, red hot. Yeah.
Only job they can do.
Oh my God.
And they can't even do it.
I'm so weirded out by this whole... Hey, what have you been doing for the last few years? Oh, I just burned down Bouncy Castle.
On behalf of a guy I'm going to throw under the bus if anyone asks me
any
questions.
Like, surely they got in trouble too, right?
I think so, but I think the way that it is, I assume, same as movies, is, is if you turn in the ringmaster.
We'll give you a better deal.
Yeah, we'll give you a deal.
Ratten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys would be really good bad cops, by the way.
Oh, you reckon? Who would be who?
You are the good cop.
Oh,
Timmy.
Only because of your laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a good laugh?
It is sinister to some degree.
If I was a prisoner, I'd be like, hello.
Okay, bad cop.
I think we'd alternate.
Yeah. To keep them on their toes.
Wait.
Every time we leave and come back, we've switched it up.
Swap your clothes and seats.
Here's another weird story.
Yep.
New Jersey baffled as mountain of cooked pasta found in forest with no explanation. Mission impossible. Pastable.
Pastable.
I couldn't even say it. It's so terrible.
Impastable.
Anyway, so a New Jersey town was left baffled after discovering hundreds of pounds of cooked pasta mysteriously dumped in the woods. The 500-pound mountain of spaghetti noodles was discovered next to a creek in Old Bridge Township. And it's like right next to the edge of like the national forest there. And Cam, if you can describe to Asia the degree of pasta that's dumped there. Whoa. And it's all cooked.
Like, what is 500 pounds? That's like a lot of kilograms.
That's half a ton. Oh, no, it's not. That's...
It's half a European ton.
Yeah, it's half a European ton.
How much is that?
Three, no, no.
To me, it looks like maybe six hatchbacks back to back.
Holy that's how shit. Much.
If you had to eat all that pasta, how long would it, how many days would it take you to
eat? If I ate it three meals a day, I reckon it would take me 2 months.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Anyway, so I started to, this is quite a good little mystery to me, and I started to think, and I just started, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I go, why? Why? Do you think, and so they did a toxicity report on the pasta. It wasn't poison, because like one of the things that you'd think about, right, is that people are dumping out there, they don't like, you know, maybe like
the wildlife or something.
Maybe he's like, this guy and his wife and kids got killed by a bear or something like that.
But
and
wait,
and
where
he also
are they?
Owned, he also owned like a nice Italian restaurant, you know what I mean? And he just, like,
surely this is business sabotage.
Yeah.
After that last story.
No, this one's a man against a bear. And it's a classic story.
What did the
it's
bear
a
do?
Classic tale. I ate his wife again.
Oh, so he's on his own now.
Yeah. Just they run, and it's hard. Like, it was a family business at the restaurant as well. So it's hard now because he's just running the place by himself.
Yeah. Lost in his thoughts.
And that's the way you get back at the bear.
Make it too much pasta.
How many pots did he have boiling?
He's
to
like,
get this
there's
done?
So many carbs. This bear's going to look so fat in those in that bear fur.
Do you think it's cooked?
That's cooked, yeah.
Okay.
It is cooked.
Is there sauce?
That's part of the story. There's no sauce, so it's just piles of pasta.
Not
I reckon
yet.
It would be like one truckload.
I can turn mine around.
Like a tray.
Yeah, I reckon a full truck
tray. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking pasta. But what would you... So, I actually... There is a follow-up to this story, but before we go to it, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I like it.
Yeah. I know you like it.
Cam's moving. General and feedback. 3 days, three meals a day.
It's really it's really nice feed. You'd
I'd
totally be
so
the good
cop. I'd
save
so much money on food. What do I think was happening here?
Yeah, detective work. Why do you think the pasta has been dumped at the edge of the forest?
Usually when food is dumped, it's because a big supermarket chain has no care for poor people.
Like, 100% that's definitely
of the time,
what's happening here.
100% of the time that I hear about really good food being left like in the streets or in a bin or on like next to a river, it's because a supermarket doesn't care about poor people.
That's,
so I think
that's
happening.
The true facts there.
That's quite good.
Is it close?
It's all right. Are you
all
sitting
I have in
on
my mind is like this huge bain-marie. Is that what they're called? Bain-marie.
Is it a casserole dish?
I have like, real trouble with that word as well. I think it's a Queensland thing. I can't say camera. Camera.
What are you trying to say?
Camera. Is that?
And
Canberra?
Camera, like a
a camera.
Oh, you're saying it right. You're just saying it slowly. Oh,
okay, cool. Camera.
Oh, yeah, that's better. You just spent a bit too much time the first time.
Yeah, cool. I was just chilling.
Camera.
Good.
Sounds like you're from southern parts of the
Make it
United
two
States.
Syllables, not three, I think is it.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Camera. Yeah. Like a whip. Picture a whip as you do it.
Yeah, so I was walking down the road and this guy got a camera. And that's
there we go. Done.
Our laughs together. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry, Cam.
It's fine.
We've both got crazy laughs. Why can't I say laughs?
So
now?
A bain-marie.
I've heard you say bain-marie before.
Yeah. Is it bain-marie?
No, I say it wrong.
I've heard you say it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's so it's like a
you know
a
where you
steel
go and you
pot.
Get like all you can eat. And there's the big trays.
So if is it one of those trays or is it the whole...
It's the whole situation.
It's like a pot thing. So it's like if you were going to put like a big thing of like spaghetti sauce and sit it in like sizzler or something, right? That's like in like a steel thing that slots into a holder in the salad bar. That's
the whole area is the bain-marie. Yep. So I'll meet you up at the bain-marie.
Oh, I'm so confused about what the actual word is.
All right, so
anyway, it's a bain-marie.
Yeah.
Gone wrong. No, I don't know. That's all I can imagine, like these young dudes like tipping it out on the side of the road. I don't know why though. Like really wasteful shit going on here.
All right, so they some neighborhood locals came out and spoke out about the situation and people were like, you know, a small town, people found out, like the locals found out pretty sure who it was, right? And then one local comes out and says, I mean, I really feel like he was just trying to clean out his parents' house and they were probably just stocked up from COVID. You know, they were just probably that generation, like my grandparents always had a cupboard full of cans and pasta, you know, you don't want to go off, you want it to be safe and yeah.
What? Boiled, no,
not
wait.
Boiled
is that a
pasta.
Quote?
That's a quote.
No.
Did he finish on saying and yeah?
No.
Real, like the journalist
they didn't
real
cut that out.
Yeah. Just and, finished before the end, yeah.
And then here is the best follow up from one of the other neighbors. This is my favorite part of the whole story.
Yeah.
Another neighbor told NPR that who did it isn't even the point. The township lacks bulk garbage pickup, which could have kept all the pasta out of the woods in the first place.
No.
It could have also been donated to a food bank. Yes. You just have someone that's like, he's just like, one day I'm going to get the opportunity to talk about the garbage pickup.
Oh my God, this is the opportunity now. Yeah.
And which I love the most because he
did it.
He did, because that's his way to get on the news and to say there's an issue with the garbage.
Oh, well, that's a good
Mr. Pfeiffer.
Theory.
That's that guy. Name. Yeah, yeah.
And did they find out?
So, no one knows.
Ah.
No one actually knows.
So the whole thing is, it's like one of those. It's like a small town, and no one's dobbing
like
anyone in or anything.
The
you know
supermarket
what I mean? It's
got bought out of spaghetti that day.
So what one of the neighbors is saying that it's just like an old. They reckon that most probably it's like a old. People that have stocked up heaps of fucking
but
food and
it's
shit.
It's cooked.
A boiled
but they
pasta.
Cooked it. But I reckon why they. I reckon why they. I reckon,
there's holes in this story.
I reckon why they cooked it, right? And I've thought about this. I reckon why they've cooked it. Because if you're just going to go dump pasta in the woods, maybe like dumping uncooked pasta isn't good for animals, right? You know what I mean? Like
you
it's sharp
it.
And it's like maybe yeah. if you.
And the bin man's not coming, so you've got to take it out.
And also, it's more comical if someone has to pick up cooked spaghetti.
Goofy.
Yeah,
and it was slipping out.
Yeah, rather than like picking up dry spaghetti is easy.
Boring.
Does it say what they did with it?
No, it didn't. I think I'm guessing that they just got like the garbage people. I don't know. Or they
wouldn't have done it.
They may have just left it there for animals to eat.
Frustrated about this situation. Like I need to know.
That's the thing about a lot of the stories we bring on here. They never have conclusions.
And we used to say, we've been doing this for years, but we used to say, let's keep an eye on that. But like, you never hear about it again. Like, that's that
their
person's
niche
moment.
Stories.
Yeah. And kind of hard to keep an eye on.
Four years later, the pasta man has been found.
Yeah.
The only sort of story that we kept on doing on the podcast, because we got in early when this thing started to happen, was the poo jogging.
Oh, that one actually, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happened was like people were going on jogs and they'd take shits places and it was like a weird...
I feel like I've heard about it, yeah.
Weird kink thing.
It's quite popular in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
And we got like a bunch of... Well,
we're fascinated.
Yeah, we're fascinated by
it. We're watching from the sidelines.
Yeah. And we...
There's good pooing spots.
Yeah.
There was a period where it was popping up a lot.
Yeah.
Where there was like poo jogging
footage,
stories. Yeah.
Like that blur the face all the time. And I think one of them like turned out to be quite a successful member of society, like a school principal or
okay,
something.
Okay, I'm not up to date. I told you guys I like the news and I'm like lacking.
This is the real
here.
News. Yeah. This is the news that matters, Asia.
There is... So at work out the front, we thought it was a dog poo,
oh,
but...
No.
I don't know. This is another story we won't know the answer to, but I swear to God it was human poo.
Next time, take a photo and send it to us because we're pretty...
You can identify.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that.
We're used
poo
to looking at
identifiers.
It now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And all different kinds of poos, different anus shapes, different
There's a
different
mindset
things,
too. There's a mindset that they're all in.
Can you see it from the type of poo?
If
like,
in the
oh,
mindset.
I know what mindset that guy was in when he did that.
Because they're usually... Because they're all fitness freaks, so it's always like quite healthy.
Oh, that's the
Like, there's definitely a difference between a poo jogger poo and a standard poo jogger poo, and like a someone that might be having a few problems in life, maybe doing a bit too much of
a
substance than they should be.
It's not that type A.
No, it's not that type. It's a healthy person poo.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a floater.
Do you think that they know they've got nice shit? So
showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a part of it.
This is some gross, like, animalistic shit.
Yeah, true. Like, I'm wealthy. I've got a good diet. I'm out for a jog at 6 a.m.
Look
check
at
it
my
out.
Shit.
You, lower middle class people.
What are the like, sorry to go back to it, and you've covered it before.
That's all right.
Where are the hot spots?
South Yarra pops
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Richmond.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Richmond. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was where the guy was that was, he was either the principal or I don't know if it was another guy, and that guy was like, there was another guy that was head in like a big like engineering construction company.
Like, do you think this is like a points based system?
They're
like,
competing against each other?
Yeah, like he, like there's two ways it's measured. One is the where the shit is. Like if you get it on an arterial road,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting 10 points. And then the, yeah, the type of shit.
If you get in the news about it,
you extra 10 points.
Yeah.
I hope they get together once a month.
I reckon. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. Every Wednesday we have like these joggers come in to Lully for a burger, $12 yeah. burger, locals
uh-huh.
night.
Uh-huh. And they come in for burgers
I
too.
Knew they were weird.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck. Ask them about poo jogging.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, no.
They always come in and they're really sweaty and like excited mm-hmm. and everyone else is trying to eat their burgers and they're like sweating up all over them. They probably just shat on the street.
Do they shake about?
Well.
Yeah. Shaking yeah. Asia was shaking about as she said that.
I feel weird.
Yeah.
Thinking
yeah.
about it.
The knowledge sort of sits with you and you just learn to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. You got to embrace it.
Yeah. The first few times I thought about poo joggers, I was just like, oh, that sucks that they're in our same society, like I'm probably crossing like shoulder to shoulder with them.
Fuck.
But then you just go, all right, they're doing embrace their thing it. And we just have to like keep an eye out and be careful.
And try and photograph it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Extra
and send it to us.
And come up with conspiracies on this podcast about it.
Like, I'd love to break a poo jogging story.
Yeah, be the first.
Yeah, that would be really nice one yeah. day.
Get a poo jogger on here, change his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Get him to just talk deeper because we don't have the technology.
Yeah. I mean, they need a platform.
Yeah.
They do.
This is it, I reckon.
They've been undercover for too long. Yeah, it's a sick hobby, isn't it, Aja?
It's sick. But I'm like weirdly into it.
Another
it's the best.
Kind of sick time. News story. A Spanish influencer has confessed to eating her own knee. So this Spanish influencer got a knee surgery where she had a bunch of extra cartilage in her knee. Mm-hmm. She got the choice, do you want to be awake for this or do you want to be knocked out by drugs? And she was like, I want to be awake for it. I want to watch it. And then you guys, I don't know if you've had surgeries, but they often say, do you want to keep the flesh? And
they do they actually?
They offer it, yeah. Like for my wisdom teeth, they're like, would you like to take them home? I'm like, nope, I'm good. And so they just said, do you want to keep this chunk of cartilage from your knee? And she was like, yep. Took it home. And then the way she describes it is she was having a conversation with her boyfriend and she said she wants to put it back in her body. And so they made bolognese.
No.
They made boiled pasta.
No.
And put it in and then she ate it. So, yeah.
This is really weirdly related to the last story.
Yeah. And then she put all the spare pasta in the woods.
Okay.
I don't know if, well, firstly, I don't know if I was going to eat the cartilage out of my knee. If I was going to do it, I wouldn't do it. But if I was... I wouldn't do it.
If you had to eat.
But if I had to do it, that's not how I would. So how'd they say that again, the cooking method that they use?
Wait, did he eat it too? Oh, I've got, oh God.
So she said, I told him I wanted to eat it because it was part of me and I wanted to put it back in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I made bolognese, so pasta and tomato sauce, and put it in and we ate it. So her and the boyfriend sat together and ate it.
So she put in the cartilage in with like, so she's what she's doing is she's mixing that in probably with another meat sauce, right?
I mean.
Some kind of mince. Call back.
Definitely tomato.
My favorite meat.
Oh,
tomato.
My God.
But yeah, I wouldn't eat it that way. If I was going to do it, I'd do it. I'd season it up. I'd put it on a real nice hot plate, and I'd just like season it up, and I'd sear it up.
Treat it like a meat patty.
Yeah, and then I just get some nice aioli or something like that. Put it over the top. Bit of like full blown American cheese.
Pasta doesn't disguise it enough. Like there wasn't enough extra stuff that she added to it.
If you're gonna do something, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like properly. Yeah, do it. Just do it.
Okay,
do it
for, so just before I came here, I had seafood curry. Yeah. But it had those weird like calamari things in it.
The spicy piercing taste?
No, like taste good, but now all I can think about is cartilage, and it's resembling what I would imagine cartilage is like. Yeah. You know those like chunky calamari bits with the little like spikes on them?
Yeah.
I don't eat any seafood. It all sounds gross.
Well, now I don't eat seafood either.
Thanks to that story.
I feel like it's like that chicken cartilage vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, never eating calamari.
If you had to eat a piece of your body, like a pinky toe or something, right?
Maybe tongue. I feel like tongue would have a good, once you cooked it up on a frying
pan. But then you wouldn't
pan.
Have your tongue anymore.
You answered that really fast.
But then you wouldn't, I'm talking about your body.
Yeah.
So you just like, you miss your tongue.
I just, well, if we're talking about, well, I didn't think about my life after the moment.
Also, you wouldn't be able to taste it.
I was just thinking about like what would have the nicest, the nicest texture and taste.
Dude, I've had tongue on tongue before, like ate it like ox tongue. It was ox tongue on a stick, like you would have like a chicken skewer, but it was the tongue on the stick and like and
did you
and,
let the taste buds touch your taste buds?
Yeah, I did, and it is it's a strange experience.
But they're still rough.
It was kind of rough because it was cooked.
Yeah.
So it was like it was kind of like a little bit.
You'd
rough
need to
on
cook
outside.
Our tongue too because.
Oh yeah.
You know when you know you can't really chew on it. Like you can make it bleed if you kind of bite it a little bit, but you can't. Chewing on it would be really tough.
So hard to bite completely through. Hey?
I think so.
Yeah, it would be.
Maybe get it diced up.
But tongue on tongue is weird. It's like you. It's like your French, kissing, but then you're like, oh no, I'm too aggressive.
I want it inside of me, as she said. Far out. Who are these people? I mean, also, each to their own.
Each to their own.
Yeah. I'm glad we're not all the same. Life would be boring.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to talk about this, actually.
Exactly.
I'm also upset that she chose the pasta method, though.
How would you,
deep
how would you
fry
eat
it or
the
something.
Cartilage?
I don't know. You'd want to disguise it. Yeah. Hard.
Deep fry for sure. Cheese.
Yeah, high melt cheese on top. Put in a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
The Lully Street burger.
Yeah, come on down. We've got meat cartilage. It's a special this weekend. $12.
I got one here from Russia. Resignation claim is fake. Says world chess chief who was once abducted by aliens. Sorry, I completely fucked it up. So this guy who is the head of world chess, he has this whole claim, right, where he came out and got abducted by aliens, right?
Yeah.
And so he's now in like the news again because there was a meeting where he lost his cool and he got up and he said, I'm done. I'm never doing this job again. Fuck you all. I'm out of here. And he leaves. And then he gets interviewed by like the media. And they're like, you said this at a meeting. Like you quit. And he goes, that's fake news. He just goes straight back into, I never said those things. I never did those things. I'm still the leader of chess.
Like so, aliens have taken over him or something.
So the backstory of this guy, firstly, he was good friends with Gaddafi, the guy.
Is he a war criminal or just a leader?
So Gaddafi?
Yeah.
Oh, he was the one. He was in Libya, and he was the one that like did like the coup and killed a bunch of people.
Bad guy, real bad guy.
And so he was mates with him, and then this guy becomes the leader of like world chess. So this guy is the head of world chess, and he has like come out and said that one night he was abducted by aliens, and the aliens told him. That they invented chess. And this is a real person. And my favorite thing about this, so I've broken it down. So Asia, I've thought a lot about cults in my life, right? It's something that I'm fascinated with, something that I've thought, if I was going to start a cult, right? And I've thought about this a lot. What would I do? And there's a layout that you got to do, and this guy's doing it perfectly, right?
Mm.
So he's put himself into a position where people think that he's like intellectually better than them, right? He's the fucking leader of world chess.
Yeah.
Now, and then he ties in this other part where he is connected to a higher power.
Yeah.
Right? So he's now connected to a higher power. He's friends with fucking, he was friends with Gaddafi, so he knows how to, he knows
this
how to
is
rule.
This how Scientology started.
This is how this shit starts.
Yeah.
This guy needs to be watched, because I tell you what, if he starts writing, if he starts writing material, that's when, that's
we're
when
done
it,
for.
That's when it all starts to happen, eh? Yeah. But it's like,
maybe he had like psychosis or something is what I'm thinking.
He seems like a crazy guy. I think that it's probably it sounds like he believes it.
He really believes it.
Yeah.
Which is less scary, because it's like it's way more manipulative less to devious. Make up the lie.
That's
so you
true.
Lean more towards a cult leader or figure as long as they passionately believe it. Like you don't like the devious ones who are tricking.
Look, it's all gonna end in a mass suicide. Yeah. It's like either way.
Yeah.
Either way, don't do it, because everyone's going to die eventually. But the next step after that one is it gets like weird, where it's kind of like, all right, so now we're all in the like the compound. You have a compound, everyone lives together,
of course.
That's what you're going to do. Next thing is like, oh, we're just here because we're all like super in love with chair. So we've got a master that's connected to a higher power.
I think that's a nice thing.
But
to
then,
believe
but
in.
Then this, it's always happens. The next step, always, every cult, the sex thing comes in.
Yeah.
And the sex thing ruins it always. And the sex thing is like, okay, well.
They start using the chess pieces as butt plugs.
Yeah, but it starts off maybe like, oh, we got to play like chess in the nude, because that's how, like, you know, we were born into this world.
We'll be closer to God.
Everyone else's girls, but it has to be just me and the girls in the room playing chess.
Yeah.
Nothing
sus there. And husbands, you go down and toil the field. Like, we'll just play chess.
Yeah, you guys go pick the onions and we'll be here.
Naked.
Naked, and you'll respect me because I was taken by aliens.
And I'm smart with chess.
And you know what? It's good to be. It's that's why it's important to be raised right in life. You know what I mean?
His parents' fault.
Because I think that that sounds all right.
Yeah.
Sounds okay.
Easy to follow.
I'd like to go and see what it's all about, to be honest.
Well, you'll play chess in the nude and then be in a mass suicide. So
wait, this guy doesn't actually have a chess cult, does he?
He's one step away.
He's one step away. This is so what we're trying to do on this show, Asia, is we like to see where things are going to go, and we like to
get
them
early.
That's
where it's going.
It's kind of
elite
news, but tarot reading.
Should we be
mixture.
Like warning people about this guy?
It's up to them.
I just saw Waco recently, the doco.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. There wasn't any chess in that.
No.
Luckily.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
maybe
been,
that would have
been so
actually.
Bad.
Nothing that happened was bad. Yeah. Holy shit. People are crazy.
Yeah. There's. Do you think he's charismatic? I think that's the key ingredient of a good cult leader as well.
Do you want to see a photo of him?
You've got to be. Charismatic.
How was this yelling tirade?
That's in there.
I need the description. The I like imagining it, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's a handsome, glowing businessman. Like,
believe him.
Blue suit. Yeah, exactly. Maroon tie. Looks very happy. I'd probably follow him. And if I was a journalist chasing him after he had a big rant and he said, nah, never happened, I'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Whatever you say. I'll write it.
I'll print that.
Oh my god.
What a likable dude.
Yeah, definitely chess pieces up the butthole is something that will eventually happen.
Yes, that's the next step.
Yeah.
That obviously. Away. Oh, I just watched that episode of Seinfeld where George's dad falls on that little statue of I don't even know what it is. I think it's a little statue of Jerry.
And it goes in. Up. It's so good.
It's bad. Like, you know when you can there's actually a scene where the three of them are sitting there, they're getting told by the doctor what happened, and they can't, you can see them clenching, like, ugh. You do when you think about it, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chest piece in the butt.
Mm. What piece do you guys imagine?
I'll take the smallest and pawns. So I'll take a pawn.
We're taking the pawns.
I imagine the castle when we're talking about
it. Oh, shit. A horse would be painful.
I feel, is that the rook? Or is the...
Oh, I'm thinking of the rook, yeah.
Oh, the rook is the castle.
The castle, yeah.
Is the rook the castle? What's the horse? Is
to be honest with you guys, I learned how to play chess on a Mario board.
Okay.
Like Mario characters.
Oh, so you don't know what we're describing.
No. So I can imagine.
The castle.
I've seen Harry Potter.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, when I first moved out of home, I got a chessboard and put it in my room so girls would think I was smart.
Oh,
that's
so
why
you're
you
the manipulative
story.
Yeah,
but he believes it. You don't believe what you're preaching.
I really
you're
relate with this guy. No, but I know he's just like me. He's fooled you guys. He hasn't fucking fooled me because I get it.
Oh, that's so good.
So I was recently looking. I often leave voice notes for myself when I'm writing music or if I'm somewhere and I'm like, oh, I'll interview this person for the podcast. I'll just use my phone to record it. So as I was setting up the gear before, I was like, I wonder if I've got anything we haven't played on the show just yet. And I found this one from 3 months ago, and the recording time is 1:03 a.m. I normally go to bed like a couple of hours before that. And so I had to listen to this, and I have no memory of recording it, but it's me. I think I must have been like half asleep, half dreaming. And in this clip, I'll play it for you guys, but sleepy me thinks I've come up with a great invention. So I want to know like if you guys think, is this a good invention or not? Okay.
I had this idea, like, what if people who work at banks, to help them be more efficient, they pre-record themselves responding to, like, customer small talk. So they all record themselves saying, like, mm-hmm, or yeah, or like, oh, yeah. And then they don't use the energy to say all that stuff. They just play it back as the customers are talking till the customer gets to the point. And then it leaves the bank tellers with enough energy to do maths, which is the main thing that they need to be doing.
It's fucking genius.
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I have no memory of like being like, oh yeah, here's a good idea for bank tellers.
It's like a soundboard, one of those like soundboards.
You can tell from my voice just how like deep in sleep I had just been. Like,
you were passionate about it.
There's so much bass in my voice. I wish I sounded like that all the time.
Did you dream? So you dreamed that and then woke up and...
I must have. It must be one of those ideas where you dream it, you're half awake, half asleep, and you're like, no, is that a good idea? And normally the idea goes away, but I think in this instance,
I must have
I better capture that.
I feel like that's a pretty thought out thing for being half asleep. Like, I've woken up and have written notes. Not so much a voice memo kind of person, but a note writer, and you read it back a few days later, and in the moment you're like, this is so good, or like, I'm going to do this, or
can
invent
I have a look,
this.
Can I have a look at your notes app?
You don't want to go in there.
Not even the notes app?
My notes app is like where everything lives. It's lot of passwords.
I won't use them.
This is my calendar. Like, there's a lot.
It's labeled Luli Notes, by the way.
Fire her.
I wonder if there's too much to sort through to know. Like, it's a lot. I've got a problem.
Can you read a couple of them out?
Oh, God, if you won't let me read them. Seriously, I couldn't let you in here.
Okay.
There's Indonesian things in here, actually. I mean, I could let you in here, but I'm scared.
What do you mean? What Indonesian things?
Well, this must be an iCloud thing or something. I was in Jakarta for 2 months.
So it's like a shopping list.
It's, I think, probably me trying to translate things. I'm not going to even pronounce them. Oh, I'm a black man in a white world is a note I have.
That's what you wanted to say in Indonesia. That's what you're trying to say in that language.
Maybe. There's also, on this same note, chairlift Green Day, Kathleen Hanna. This is like a...
Your favourite things?
Yeah.
I like chairlifts. I like Green Day.
Who's Kathleen Hanna?
Kathleen Hanna, the lead singer of Bikini Kill.
Who is
an icon.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her play at the Forum like last month, and it was their first... Oh, actually, I've got a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible story, but a good story. I mean, interesting. Mm. So, went and saw Bikini Kill at the Forum. Brilliant. Awesome. They haven't been here for like over a decade.
Yeah.
As I was leaving...
Did they also play Boogie?
No,
they didn't.
No, they just played two shows at the Forums, which were all ages shows, which was interesting.
Good on them.
Yeah, good, except for the underage kids.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, they are annoying. They yell when she's talking, you know?
Oh, really?
There was, what's it called when there's like hecklers? They were heckling her.
Yeah. When she's chatting.
Yeah, and she's like the queen. It's like, sit down. Was it them trying
to get adoration from her, like,
it was mainly like, play this song. She's not a DJ. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, don't tell the queen what to do. Anyway, so left, it was awesome, bloody awesome, very packed. Hopped on the train, bumped into this woman who I know, who is an angel. You know when you go somewhere and you're like, I'm gonna bump into this person when I'm here, because she's at every good gig that I go to. beautiful, sweet lady, Claire. She works for Music Victoria, total legend. Anyways, and we sat next to each other on the train, and I was like, so weird they haven't been here for so long. And she was like, so weird that you say that. Before I came here tonight, I went and met up with this old friend who I used to work with in Tasmania. They worked in Hobart together. Mm. And they actually, Claire had somewhat been involved in organizing her last show, Bikini Kill's last show in Hobart.
Yeah.
And the woman who she just met up with was the security guard for this show. I don't know if you guys know Hobart, but it was like down in, there's like this cool university thing, like down on the harbor,
huge?
Like on the water.
Is it really huge?
It's massive. Yeah, like big, beautiful
basement.
Old buildings.
I went to a dance party with Liz in that basement.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like a cool, I think it's mainly like uni kind of arty stuff now, but it was a gig venue. They used to have like skate ramps and stuff.
Cool.
But so she went and met up with this woman and she was like, hey, so crazy, I'm going to see Bikini Kill tonight. Remember that time they were here like 10 plus years ago and we were working it or whatever? And it was like this awful thing because when Bikini Kill played, this car drove off the edge of the pier and like three generations of people were killed this car.
Whoa.
And the security guard, who's this woman that Claire was hanging out with, she had to like try and keep all these, you know, young drunk kids away from this, like, you know, three dead people.
Holy shit.
But there was supposedly a baby in the car who survived. Where are they now? Were they at the Bikini Kill gig at the Forum? I don't know.
Oh, so how long ago was the
10 to 12 years ago, I think.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that crazy? Full so on. Then I overthought it and I was like, maybe Kathleen Hanna and Bikini Kill didn't want to come back out here because that happened while their show was on, like outside of the venue.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Hectic. Brought the mood down.
Right. It must be a mission for artists when stuff happens at their gigs. Sometimes I feel for them, I'm like on their side, but there was that thing like 6 months ago where Travis Scott had a bunch of people in the crowd. I was like, oh, he's got a bit of a yuck attitude about these people passing
hectic.
Away.
Hectic?
Yeah.
I actually think that because that had happened, I now get pretty, I mean, you know, I think about the spaces and I actually went and saw Wu-Tang last week, which was amazing.
Mm.
And there was a moment where I could see down the front these guys, like, everyone was really into it and jumping. Yeah. But these guys were, like, facing the other direction, like, trying to get someone's attention. And I could see that no staff were looking. Yeah. And I started to freak out and was like, oh, my God, there's someone's dead in the mosh pit. Which they weren't. They were fine. But,
that's
like,
good.
It looked...
Yeah, it's good because it's raised, like, heightened the awareness of other artists. Like, now I've seen videos of, like, Taylor Swift and Lorde. Like, Lorde will be like, okay, guys, just a minute. Like, help them out.
Like, do the promoters need to just not sell that many tickets? Like, it's, come on. I feel like it's happened in Germany a few times or, like, in Europe in places where there's been stampedes and stuff. Like,
well, it happened at the Big Day Out.
Happened at Big Day Out.
With Linkin Park, right? Is that Fred Durst?
Nah, Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit, yeah.
Have you guys seen that Woodford 99? Cancelled. This is a music podcast.
And nu metal is the main genre we celebrate.
Yeah. They're most of our fans, actually.
Sorry to Fred Durst. Said no one ever.
Not me.
Not you.
Not me. Cam, have you got another news story?
I do. A sperm donor with over 550 children worldwide has been ordered to stop. So this guy's been sued by one of the mums, one of the people that received his sperm. And she says that, I hope that this ruling leads to a ban on mass donation and spreads like an oil slick in other countries. We must stand hand in hand around our children and protect them against this injustice. So basically this Dutch guy called Jonathan... they've found out that he's probably got 550 children around the world. In most countries, there's a limit. You're only allowed maximum 25 children. So you can, like, rock up, get paid. I think it's like $700 a donor, $740 with GST per donation. He's done it way more than the 25 limit in each country.
Wait, is he moving around the world?
Yeah, he's going around the world donating everywhere.
This guy also thinks he's had a... alien god moment going on. This is a cult guy.
But the scary,
he's
a
cult.
The scary thing is that it's like nearly impossible to track now as well, because like these kids could meet and have their own children. Like, that's quite weird.
dangerous.
And the mum whose name, or one of the mums whose name is Eva, said that she's really happy about the fact that he's getting convicted. But yeah, he just went wild for quite a while.
But he wasn't having sex with this woman, right? It was a sperm donor.
Well, that's what I thought to me. I thought he was doing it all by the books. But but it says here that he...
That would also be wrong, by the way. I feel like my tone felt really accepting of that. It wasn't.
You can just give everyone your sperm. It's fine.
I should stop mailing it to people.
So he did it at fertility clinics, as well as with people that he connected with through advertisements, online forums, and flyers. So I think, like, at the supermarket, they have those cork boards, and sometimes people put up
free sperm, come get it, free sperm. Wait, was he selling it or just giving it away, do you think?
He was selling to the clinics, but I guess whatever the agreement was. So this is more common than people might think. On Tinder, there are some girls that are on there who are like, I never want to be in a relationship, but I do want to have kids. I want somebody to impregnate me with no cost, but you don't have to have anything to do with me or the baby once it's born. So there's these verbal agreements out there as well. You could go to a clinic, but I bet he was
probably on the apps. Did they hold in court those verbal agreements?
I'm not sure.
No. Verbal agreement. What verbal agreement?
I promised. He did promise, Your Honour.
But it's on.
Unless
but
it's Cam who's voice recorded it in his notes.
But if it's through Tinder, it's on text, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So if one of them, oh no, and if you contacted the Tinder Corporation, then they probably got records of all the chats.
Yeah.
Of what the agreement
well,
was.
Well, Tinder's supposedly been in trouble a lot for not handing over information. So they would hold it. They've got like really weird, strong privacy things.
And they do that so they don't get tied into bad cases and shit.
Yeah. I guess so.
Because they'd be in the news heaps with like... Yeah.
Like really bad shit's happened though. It's like, come on, like you can vilify these couple of people, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't want Tinder to have a bad name. Mm. So you can't actually buy sperm in Australia. It's illegal.
Okay. So that's why these people on... These girls on Tinder are saying, oh, it's a gift.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just go to the clinic, man.
I just imagine, like, he's, like, a hot dog vendor at, like, a game with one of those, like, harness things in a tray in front of him. Free sprog! Come get your free sprog!
Okay, also, just quickly on that last thing I just said, if you can't, and what you said about, come, I don't want any, you know, I just want the sperm. Like,
did
if
I
you
say
can't,
that?
Yeah.
Did I say I just want the sperm?
Not in those words.
I don't remember.
Sorry, these women who just want the sperm.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you were saying I said that.
I mean, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, I want it.
If they can't afford to go to the clinic and buy the sperm, which I don't think is a thing anyway, but like, you should not be having a child. Weirdly, also related, have you seen this news story lately about these guys? This, well, I assume one person, but it could be multiple, sending used condoms to people in the southeast of Melbourne.
Yeah.
55 what? Women have, I don't know how they're related or like if they're related or what.
They're just receiving used condoms.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
like it was in the news like last week or the week before.
Yeah, yeah, that's yuck.
It's the poo joggers.
Oh, yeah. Same kind of person. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean.
How many kids... Like, how many kids should this guy have stopped at?
Two.
Yeah.
Like,
a couple.
Has he heard about climate change and, like, overpopulating the planet? Like, just stop, man.
I know. It would boggle my mind to think, oh, there's 500, I have 500, 550 sons out there.
This is a thing, though, that men do.
They want their DNA out there.
This is, like, a common thing.
Oh, like marking their territory.
There was a huge case in America throughout the, I think like the 70s and 80s and 90s, and the man was an IVF doctor.
Yeah.
There's a Netflix doco on it.
It's brilliant. It's terrible, but it's amazing doco. Yeah.
He put his own in there.
Everyone. Yeah. And none of them knew.
And they all live in the same area and
same
shit,
town.
Man.
Same
yeah.
town.
Oh.
Yeah. There was, I think, was there like 80 kids? He never owned up to it, but they found out through DNA testing, like, when those like family tree websites started, these people were just connecting everywhere. Like
Amnesty.com and all that shit.
Yeah,
and
there's another one.
But yeah, and it's like, and it's so gnarly. And he didn't go to jail because there wasn't a law against it. So like we can't, they tried to charge him with another law, like another crime that was like connected to it. But I think he just got community service or some shit like that.
He
right?
really like messed a lot of people up too. Like I think.
Because it is assault, right?
It's well, yeah, you've got someone else's thing inside of you that you
without consent.
But yeah, it wasn't illegal.
Huh?
What it at the time it wasn't like there was no law against
it. But the other thing too is like what he was doing. It wasn't just and not that it would be okay if it was just this, but just to clarify again, my tone's a little off tonight. but he wouldn't just like use it as like a sperm donor. Tell him like there's someone donated the sperm that I put his in there. He also did where it was like
the father.
Yeah, the father had like put their sperm in to then be like inseminated. And he chucked that out, put his in. But the other thing too was that they were saying that he had to do it right before. So he'd go into his office, wank off into
While the
lady's in the room.
Because it's got to be hot and fresh.
Yeah, the lady's conscious for these types of things.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then so
but
he
like he was in another. He went into the next room. Yeah. But like because they don't know he's doing
wanking.
It.
Yeah. Like he was in the next room wanking and then come in still like revved up from coming and then put his semen in there.
I don't like this guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. It's
really messed up. Yeah. And it took a few people to be like, well, you don't look like your father at all. Mm. Or like, you know, your dad's black and you're white. Like there was a bit of that going on.
Well, oh, man.
Asia, you'll be happy to hear that here at the Charging Stallion News We Like podcast, we always have a palate cleanser.
Oh,
and we have a nice story to finish off the weirdness and let everyone walk away with a little spring in their step. So, this story is Grandma 93 and grandson complete goal of visiting all 63 U.S. national parks. So this grandson, he had his 85-year-old grandma, right? And he found out she'd never seen the ocean, never seen the mountains, never been outside the town that she grew up in.
No.
And so he decided over the space of, I think it's 4 years, to take her around to every single national park across America.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Yeah. And complete non-sexual relationship. Everything was above board.
His own grandma?
Everything was above board.
After the conversations we've had tonight, I thought they would have probably done it at least one time.
No. Not that we know of.
It was so nice.
Sorry, I ruined it again. Sorry. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Grandson spending this time with his grandmother and taking her to places that if without him, she probably would have never seen before she died.
That's nice. I assume he got to take 4 years off work on her expense.
Probably.
Yeah. Use the money before she dies.
Just rewrite your will, grandma. We'll go on a trip.
But the moral of that story is look after your grandma in a non-sexual way and be good.
Be a good grandchild. Well, that is a positive note.
Asia, can you pop out there and just let us know where we can find information on Luli, like the socials, all those things?
Not Luli's Tavern. Luli, L-U-L-I-E Tavern.
Okay.
Instagram, that's it. You'll find me, Asia Quinn.
And the podcast?
The L Files on Spotify.
Thank you so much for coming on, Asia.
You.
It's been amazing.
Bye, Asia.
Yay, bye.
Love you.
Love you.
See you next week.
Bye.